Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Greetings. Overcomers.ca. The Epistle Mysteries. Chapter 43. The Mystery of His Will, Smiting the Saviors. Scriptures. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. Obadiah 1:21. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the people of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it shall be in that day, says Jehovah of hosts, I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall be remembered no more. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall be, when any shall yet prophesy, his father and his mother who gave birth to him shall say to him then, you shall not live, for you speak lies in the name of Jehovah. And his father and mother who gave him birth shall thrust him through when he prophesies. And it shall be in that day the prophets shall be ashamed, each one of his vision when he prophesies. And they shall not wear a hairy garment to deceive, but he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a man, a tiller of the ground, for a man taught me to buy from my youth. And one shall say to him, what are these wounds in your hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of those who love me. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man who is my companion, says Jehovah of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. And I will turn my hand on the little ones. And it shall be in all the land, says Jehovah. Two parts in it shall be cut off and die, but the third part shall be left in it. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined. And I will try them as gold is tried. And they shall call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, Jehovah is my God. Zechariah 13, verses 1 to 9. In the meantime, his disciples were asking him, saying, Master, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, no one brought him anything to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. Do you not say it is yet 4 months, and the harvest comes? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white to harvest already. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit to life eternal, so that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. And in this is the saying true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that on which you bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and you have entered into their labor. John 4, verses 31 to 38. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpast. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood, and shall no more cover her slain. And that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and ye shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. In that day sing ye unto her, a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. He shall cause them that come of Jacob to take root. Israel shall blossom and bud, and fill the face of the world with fruit. Isaiah 26, verses 20 and 21, and Isaiah 27, verses 1 to 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 7. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Revelation 12, verses 1 to 11. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, but he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Revelation 13, verses 9 to 15, and Scriptures. 4 visions. Note, these visions are not necessarily in order. First vision. Then in the time frame of the world, in its present ordered arrangement, I beheld over the face of the earth the upright and holy overcomers, those whom the Lord had preserved unto his coming. These stood upon the earth, distanced one from another by geography, but one in spirit and in the purpose and calling in which they were walked. Beholding then the Lord in spirit above them, I saw the Lord reach down with his arm and move upon each overcomer with his hand, smiting each one, causing them to perish on the earth, their lives being smitten and consumed by the stroke of his hand and in the mystery of his will. As they fell dead, the Lord's purpose was being revealed, as these who died under his hand were given power to rule over the world of men and were caught up to rule as ones who were single with the Lord in his power. These who were smitten had completed in them their death to this world, and they were found perfect and entire by the Lord at his coming. These who were smitten truly knew what the fellowship of the Lord's suffering was all about, and they loved not their earthly lives unto death. It is through these smitten that the Lord then began to move to judge the world of men and to complete the end of this fallen creation. What I had seen was the risen army of the Lord. End first vision. Second vision. Then the angel which held me and carried me under my right arm lifted me and elevated me even into the atmosphere which was over the earth, the realm wherein the powers of the air are present, and wherein the spirit that works abomination and wickedness dwells. Into this realm was I carried, and I saw upon the upper firmament of the air a great red dragon having many heads with crowns and horns. The dragon was raging in a downward motion towards the earth. In particular, I saw upon the earth the overcomers, each one geographically separate one from another. But these who were overcoming with the help of the Holy Ghost were the targets of the rage of this great red dragon. As the dragon roared from its heads towards the saints, I was taken up close to the side of it and was amazed, for the side of the dragon had been torn open as if it were run through with a sword. The side flank of this evil was smitten by the sword of he who is the Ancient of Days, even the Lord Jehovah Almighty, the Most High God. Even by his sword was this dragon smitten, and the side flank of the dragon was broken open and wounded. The enemy has but a very short time. And second vision. Third vision. Beholding then the earth and the nations which dwelt upon it, I saw rise up out of the mass of humanity, brackets C, a great beast which had a head, terrible and large, and which head looked up unto the dragon. The beast received its strength and power from the dragon, which had now been smitten. As the beast looked up unto the dragon, it spake as a lamb, but it was wroth with rage and hatred against men. This beast determined to consume all men and to enslave them in its horror. Then saw I the Lord Jesus Christ come in the clouds of glory with the hosts of heaven beside him. As he came, he held forth a sword out of his mouth, which slew this beast and destroyed its power over men. I saw that the head of the beast was taken along with its body and cast into the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. The great swelling words that the beast had spoken against the Lord and his anointed were also cast into that fiery lake, and all of it was consumed in the fire, having been destroyed by the brightness of the coming of the King of Kings. So ended the judgment upon the beast. And third vision. Fourth vision. I beheld then a woman bringing to birth a man who was a child. As the scriptures call this, the man-child. The head of the man-child had already appeared in the birthing, and the rest of the body of this man-child was soon to follow. As the woman travailed to bring forth this one, the dragon was there ready to devour this child as soon as it would be born. I saw, however, that this will not happen, that this child is ordained to defeat the enemies of the Lord by the power of the resurrection life of Christ that is upon this one that is coming forth, even in this present time, in this world of men. This is not a vision of escapism or of rapture, but a vision of the enduring faith of the saints who have patiently waited while the word of the Lord tried them and separated in them flesh from spirit. This man-child, which was coming to full birth, was without the taint of flesh, and as a spirit being, filled with the nature and holiness of the living Christ, so did this child come forth fully mature to rule with the Lord in that age that is even dawning, the age of the glorious reign of Christ. As the man-child was born, so the dragon had no power to consume or destroy this one, for this one had no taint of sin or iniquity upon himself, and was perfect and holy, as the Lord is perfect and holy. So perfect in oneness was this man-child with the Lord. And fourth vision. And visions. When Jesus explained to his disciples that his meat was to do the will of the Father, little did they know that the Father's will was for Jesus to go through the cross. The cross that Jesus suffered and died upon, shedding his blood for the remission of sins, was just as much in the will of Father as was the resurrection of Jesus 3 days later. Both the cross and the resurrection worked together to reveal the will of the Father. One part of Jesus' life had to perish upon the cross. The other part of the life of Jesus had to move through the spiritual world, confirming the word and bringing forth the full expression of the mystery of his will in the world of men, both the spirit world and this natural one. It was this world that Jesus rose in, and it is in this world that Jesus will be seen in when he comes in that same body that was raised. The coming of Jesus is an event which will happen in that same glorified body that was raised. It is not just a spiritual event. It will be a spiritual event with flesh made perfect, or if you will, flesh that can no longer be subject to death or dying. The will of the Father was to make us all one in that same event, the death and the resurrection of Jesus. What we have today, for the most part, in this world and in Christendom, is everything but the event of the resurrection. We have everything else one can imagine, but the event of the resurrection is woefully absent from Christian assemblies. Instead, we have every kind of invented doctrine which tickles the fancy and squishes the hearing ears with every tantalizing manifestation of gleeful ignorance and a total lack of wisdom in knowing and doing the will of the Lord. The will of the Lord in the Western Christian world is full of self-measurement. One is obviously in the will of the Lord if they are being financially prospered and if they're getting lots of goods added to them. These follow cunningly devised formulas to increase personal wealth and the ability for the Lord to give them whatever they beckon him to give them, be it wealth or power. What we have is a sorrowful demonstration of what it means to be apostate. But while the state of apostasy is happening, The one who is thus in this condition is completely blind to it. The understanding and the wisdom needed for this hour is almost 99.9% absent from this world. Very few know what it means to understand and to know the will of the Lord, much less do it. For the overcomer, it is quite a different matter. The hand of the Lord has moved in the lives of those who are overcoming to cut them off. Again, the hand of the Lord has moved in the lives of those who are overcoming to cut them off. The Lord allows the world around them, around the overcomer's life, to become completely undone. They lose all they hold dear as people and have stripped from them their garments, as it were, being made a spectacle unto men and the Christian world. They are hung upon crosses. Their lives are snuffed out. They are rejected by family, old friends, and everyone they have known. They die the infamous death of the cross, being cursed as they are impaled upon it, upon its cruel beams. The Lord has separated the overcomers out from all others so that they can die upon their own personal crosses. The cross to them is just as important as their overcoming decisions. They realize that to be one with the Lord, they must indeed follow his same pattern. First the cross, then the resurrection and glory. Dear reader of this page, I am writing to you today to tell you from the Lord, to tell you from the Lord that the cross is nearly done in you. The time of you hanging in shame in the eyesight of the entire world around you, in front of your family and ex-friends, is nearly done. You will soon perish in this world and awake in the same world as a complete new creation. All this is going to happen right in the world in which you live. It won't be long, this time of suffering you are in. And that entire trial of life you have gone through will be removed as the Lord appears in you and as you arise as one who is solely a new creation. There is a motion of the Spirit of the Lord in this world that is very unique. It is that the Lord almost seems to have left the world of Christendom to stew in their crude and elementary doctrines, leaving them, as it were, to their own delusions. Each of the tens of thousands of Christian denominations, as well as all the other worldwide religions, all are absent of the motion of the Lord's Spirit in their midst. Again, each of the tens of thousands of Christian denominations, as well as all the other worldwide religions, are all absent of the motion of the Lord's Spirit in their midst. Each one is camping where the Lord once was. There they remain. But the overcomers move as the Lord moves, advancing as his Spirit advances. They do not camp in any place of recluse. These who are overcoming never set down roots. They move outside of those who have fallen asleep in complacency. Because the true overcomer is never satisfied. They want all the Lord has for them. So the Christian denominations are bundles bound for burning. Each sheaf, which is a mix of wheat and tares, is destined for the threshing floor, but not yet. The Lord has left them where they are, and he has turned and concentrated the motion of his Spirit onto the lives of those who wish to be fully complete in all that he has promised them. For the working out of salvation is not a complacent thing, it is a progressive thing. It is a motion that must be followed through day by day until the course of faith is completed. That course is only happening to those whom the Lord has apprehended for himself. Remember that the hand of the Lord was the hand that cut you off. It was his hand that separated you unto himself, and it was his hand which is finishing in you his perfect will. That is why you lost friends. That is why your family members look upon you and think you are insane. They do not understand someone who is impaled upon a cross. They do not understand the person who endures suffering while they enjoy gleefully prosperity and doctrines which make them godlike. They do not understand the person who knows the sorrow of Jesus in their hearts. Why sorrow? They ask. The Lord is there to give you what you want. But the overcomer wants the true riches, the full nature of their Father in them, his will completed in them, so they do not run to that same excess of riot. Indeed, cursed is everyone who hangs upon a cross, the cross. Now hear this mystery in its fullness for you, dear reader of these pages. This mystery is being unfolded, but it is being unfolded in your present suffering silence. As you wait before the Lord with your mouth shut and your heart open unto the Lord, you will notice that in your tribulations, in your heart's aching yearning, in your strange abandonment, the Lord is being reinforced in you. Now I have said that the presence of the Lord will seem to wane for a time, but that is all part of the suffering silence that has to be endured by the overcomer. They too must be upon their crosses, enduring the process of death, if they are to know the power of resurrection. Again, but that is all part of the suffering silence that has to be endured by the overcomer. They too must be upon their crosses, enduring the process of death, if they are to know the power of resurrection. Know this, dear one, that there are only but a few called to such great honor. Just think of it. You are called to share his cross so you can share his glory. And I say to you that the cross is nearly done in you. Do you find it hard to believe? Your limbs and your body are becoming more and more numb to this present world. The world is drifting further and further away from you. It is being taken away bit by bit, and you are perishing to it. This, dear one, is the inworked power of the cross. The mystery of his will is that you die here and live there. Again, the mystery of his will is that you die here and live there, that you partake of his sufferings so you can partake of his glory. We read in Obadiah 21 that there is a double progression. The overcomers, here known as saviors, shall first come up onto Mount Zion, the kingdom of his anointing. Yes, dear reader, your first step is to climb up and be upon Mount Zion, to be anointed as Jesus himself is anointed, to be called to the throne, to be granted to sit with him upon that throne, to rule with him as saviors while seated there. After all, the man-child is caught up to the throne. Then the next step in the progression. As you are soon to be seated with the Lord in a glorified body, you will be given the power to judge the Mount of Esau. Think of the Mount of Esau as being the flesh nature in mankind, both in nations past as well as those remaining. Yes, dear crucified one, you will rise to the top of Mount Zion in the resurrection that is right in front of you, and you will judge this world of men. We are told in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are already seated with him in heavenly places. I say to you that there is a difference between reigning in your spiritual life there, seated in that position in the present tense, but it is different matter in the consummation, when the glorified body becomes a reality, when that seated position totals 100% of your person. You cannot expect to be seated in such a position if you first have not endured the full measure of your personal cross. But you can expect it if you have. And I say to you that there are many in delusion in this day who claim to be seated with Christ in heavenly places, but they are walking in complete delusion, fellowshipping with what they claim is the Spirit of the Lord, when in fact it is not. What I am saying to you is that this is a progressive revelation. We must first endure the same pattern Jesus endured for these scriptural statements to become reality in us. We must first know the fellowship of his sufferings while doing the will of the Lord, and then we will know the reality of being seated in heavenly places. So to you who do not shirk the burden of the cross will come the scepter and the right to rule. This will only be granted to those who submitted to the processing of the cross and as a result will be saviors with Jesus, the Savior of the world. These will end the death process in this world and will return unto the Lord a completed kingdom, fully rich with the life of his resurrection power. This is your future, and the proof is in your present suffering silence. So be it, Lord. To be continued, Kenneth B. Vischer.